If you come across something on TV you don't like, even troubles you, what are your options? Right, you turn it off, or if you're really bothered by it, maybe you send an email expressing your outrage. According to Disney, that's not good enough for Donald Trump. This past week, Disney filed a lawsuit in D.C. District Court against the Trump administration, who they say is unfairly targeting their TV broadcast shows and properties, which include ABC, and they're doing this via the FCC. The first guest is here to examine the elements of all these actions, along with their implications. He's telecommunications policy analyst with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, DJ Hatch. Thanks for being here today, DJ.
I appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
And learn more about this issue. Another point of focus of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, is their website. So give us the lowdown. How has this been unfolding? A lot of it has been done publicly. I mean, is it fair to say, if you want to get down to the root of this, Jimmy Kimmel is maybe the one to blame for all this happening?
Well, yeah, he's certainly a part of the broader sort of scope of this standoff here. I guess it should be added even before the Jimmy Kimmel issue just this past fall 2025, that in, I believe, spring of 2025, the FCC did try to start opening a equal employment opportunity investigation into Disney and ABC anyway. So this standoff actually was happening even before Jimmy Kimmel.
And that's important to know, too, because, well, I guess that's a big question. Donald Trump publicly, and this is part of the filing that Disney placed before the D.C. Circuit Court, Donald Trump has publicly railed against Jimmy Kimmel, The View, George Stephanopoulos, which legitimately, I guess, that one might actually have some merit because, if I remember right, Stephanopoulos in the E. Jean Carroll case said that Trump was convicted of rape or it was sexual assault. The judge qualified that as saying any other place it would have been rape, but that's another discussion for another time. But that's when ABC ponied up $16 million. But all these other issues, is this the FCC using a DEI investigation, according to Chairman Carr's own words, to further attack the programming that Trump has been certainly devoted to?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, and you know, especially on the DEI related investigation, and that actually was the preceding point before this early license renewal review for Disney. So, I think it's important to recognize that they're essentially two different things running parallel with this same action on the license review. So the FCC says that the license review renewal was tied to that hiring investigation, and then plus this past April they said it was they initiated a broader public interest review, and they said that basically they're denying that it was about speech. And then Disney says that speech is really the cause of the license review here, and that the real target is ABC's content.
And for you listening, you might have been watching, it's the own, they're called the owned and operated stations. There's eight total in the major markets, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, and the list goes on from there. You might have seen those stations running ads saying, paraphrasing here, the FCC's coming for us. They're saying we're not serving public interest, which that too, DJ, as far as serving the public interest, that basically means public affairs shows, news programming, things like that. Knowing what radio has become, I mean, a token vague effort in radio qualifies as public service programming, quite frankly. Is that the same in television? Because if you look at WABC Channel 7 in New York, all Sunday morning from 6 a.m. until noon is nothing but public affairs programming. So how can there be a claim of coming up short with that?
Well, I think it's important to clarify what the term public interest, I guess, means specifically in the context of the Disney standoff here. So when the government licenses a station, it doesn't just hand over the airwaves. The station takes on an obligation to serve the, quote, public interest. And that phrase comes from the 1934 Communications Act. And Congress also left that public interest language fairly broad, to be honest. So in practice for license holders, this can mean things like covering your local community, running emergency information, sponsorship identification, things like that. Here, though, I'd say the FCC is leaning on a fairly expansive reading of their public interest authority when it comes to reviewing license holders. And I guess a real potentially serious tension here is that a standard that broad when it comes to an expansive reading the public interest authority may also be broad enough to get stretched towards the content of the news itself.
Yeah, it's a danger having something so vague. You can make it whatever you want to have it be for your personal purposes, in this case to I don't know if attack is the fair word, but to almost Viktor Orban, as that former leader in Hungary did what he did to media in that country. A lot of people say this is a parallel situation. We're talking with DJ Hatch, telecommunications policy analyst with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. As far as the licensing process, is ABC close to renewal time? I mean, how premature toward license renewal are these actions being taken?
Each station owned by each of the eight stations owned by ABC was basically on their own separate timeline towards basically their what's viewed as a routine license renewal process. Some were a couple years away, some were more than that. The point is here is that the early license renewal review that the SEC initiated is a fairly unusual step by the FCC here. I think even Chairman Carr said something like this hasn't been done in 50 to 60 years, the sort of early non-routine license renewal review.
Quotes on, and content are certainly the foundation we have to go on in exploring things like this and doing background research. I found several instances where up until traditionally the FCC was at best a quasi-independent department. Some wanted it to be totally, but that's just not going to happen. Where Donald Trump has said numerous times he sees the FCC as an extension of the executive branch. When you look at the past, I'll bring up a couple of examples here. WBAI-FM in New York back in the 70s aired the George Carlin Seven Words You Can't Say routine. They were fined. They kept the license. They were fined. Far more recent, CBS during the Super Bowl back in the last decade. Of course, the infamous Janet Jackson halftime show incident. Heavy fines. There was no license challenges. Don't those two examples, and there's many more, demonstrate just how unusual this move is by the FCC against ABC and Disney?
I think it is fair to say that Disney also in their complaint just for this lawsuit is trying to draw basically specific links between the statements that the president and Chairman Carr have made regarding their their own disputes with late night talk show host Jimmy Kimmel, The View as well, and ABC's news coverage as part of what Disney views as a retaliation campaign here that's essentially violating their First Amendment rights.
A lot of people, when things like this happen, you can look at various court cases when the Trump administration has gone to court and they show up really with empty manila folders, nothing to present. And a lot of we've gotten into the habit of laughing off these moves or dismissing them, saying, well, it's just going to be another crash and burn in the court. We're used to that, been there, done that. What if this works? What if the administration succeeds in this? What does that mean for what is up until now free and fair mass media?
It's a really important thing to consider because I'd say that the sort of broader power at stake here really isn't limited to this ABC standoff. Though these license reviews hit stations just specifically in California, Texas, though also in the Northeast, in New York and Philadelphia, the standard or approach being used here by the FCC could, at least theoretically, reach every local broadcaster in the country. So I think a broader question involved in this dispute is whether it's okay to have basically a public interest standard flexible enough that any administration, this one or the next, can lean on a station over coverage it frankly doesn't like.
Certainly something worth watching because the aftermath could be a lot of changes or a lot of reestablishing of what is right and what is fair. But again, we're a long way from that. But again, on the flip side, when you look at, again, what the Trump administration shows up with in court, maybe this could be a quicker-than-assumed conclusion. Again, worthy of keeping an eye on. Find out more about this and other points of focus of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. CEI.org is their website. He is their telecommunications policy analyst, DJ Hatch. DJ, thanks for helping us get a better understanding of all sides of this issue, and thanks for being here today.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.